you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 6, 2019, the first Friday in this newer month. And I'm joined by Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo. But I think you're a little cooler. We have the air conditioning out here at the Great News Radio Center. So last night when we had the children's choir going on, I had the front doors open, the back door open, trying to get a little breeze through here. But it's a little warm today. So Randy Houston, if you're tuned in, expect a call from me or somebody else wants to come rescue us. It seems like we have a leak in the system, and every year Randy recharges it and fills it up, and so that's probably going to happen in the next few days, but we'll make it all right. But that's better than carrying around your 25-pound Bible, Jason. I know you wanted to get more into shape and such, but rumor has it it's like so heavy you can't even really carry it out of the house.
Well, you know, I only have one eye now, so I had to buy this super giant print Bible, and yeah, it weighs about 15 pounds.
Yeah,
and it is, if you saw it, it is comically huge. But I can read it, and that's what counts.
Well, and when you say, lest listeners like, what, he only has one eye, one functioning eye, until you have surgery on the other one for that build up or that growth, or how would you explain what's going on with your eye?
They call it trauma. So a cataract is a trauma to the eye that moves across your field of vision. And so we have that. So I can't see out of my left eye, but I can see out of my right eye. But with this giant print Bible, so I can read everything now.
You just can't carry it around with you.
Well, it's heavy, yeah. It's heavy. I took it out of the box, and I thought, oh, my gosh. I gave it to Tasha, and she goes, I think that's just a stay-at-home Bible.
Yeah.
That thing's really heavy.
Well, as our listeners knew last Friday when we had you on praying through your situation, and did you ever resolve the kidney stone? Did that ever pass, or you work that through?
No. Well, I don't know. It hasn't hurt, so maybe it's hanging around in there. Maybe it's gone where it should go. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you'll know if, well, that, yeah, most of the pain is when it gets into the, its way into the bladder, or is it? Well, anyway, I've passed enough of them to know that it's extreme pain, but once it gets maybe out of the kidney into the bladder, maybe it's you're better off. I don't know. Well, we'll pray for that, too. Let me announce a few changes that are going to be going on. As many of you know, Kay Arthur and Precepts Ministries has been a part of our programming lineup from the very beginning. So 23 years we've been airing her Precepts from God's Word, and then she has a one-minute program called Precepts, maybe Precepts for Today. But anyways, as of Monday, so in a couple days, basically at 6:30 in the morning on WGNJ or 11 a.m. on WGNN, we're going to launch into J. Vernon McGee's study through the Bible. And I think every 7 years he goes through the entire Bible. So you'll begin hearing J. Vernon McGee filling in the K. Arthur slot at 6:30 on WGNJ and then 11 a.m. on WGNN. So we'll have more to say about that, but those of you that have loved Kay Arthur, like myself, she's just at the point where in her 80s and retiring, and they're going to provide some of the programming at her website and other means so you can still hear her voice. But I think she's pulling back, and, you know, as she gets older and spends time doing other things. So J. Vernon McGee, a great Bible teacher. Many of you might have remembered him for 30, 40, 50 years ago. The broadcast is still going on, and many stations carry it. And so we'll be introducing it for the first time this coming Monday. So look forward to that. And on Monday, I'm going to have special guests, Lord willing, Kendra Smiley, her husband John. They have a program. It's called Live Life Intentionally. And Kendra does, I think, 4 of the 5 days. Heard also on WBGL, and I met her at an event recently, and we talked about her one-minute program. So we'll be airing that. Right now it'll be around 2:15 on WGNN, and I'm still finding and looking for a spot on WGNJ. But we'll have her on Oh, I guess she'll be on Testimony Tuesday. And so her and her husband, John, will be joining me so we can introduce some of the things they do. I know she's written a couple different books and does different speaking engagements. And then on Memorization Monday, Pastor Luke Rosenberger, he's the new pastor, I think just a week or two, at the Dewey Mennonite Church. And he's going to come in and help us with Memorization Monday, doing Isaiah 26:3, which is a great verse. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." So we're going to learn about, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be steadfast and full of peace because the Prince of Peace is hopefully focused in the center of our life. So we'll talk about that on Memorization Monday, Lord willing, if Pastor Luke and his wife can make it in. So that's kind of the lineup. Oh, one little shout out. I ate at the Triple H Cafe in Elliott, Illinois the other day. I think that was on Thursday. They carry our Prime Lifetimes papers and our Tootsie Pop display, which has our program guides and Voice of the Listener radio surveys. And Dwayne Berkey, he placed it in there some months ago, and I finally got around to meeting with Melissa. She owns it and works in the kitchen and does all hands on deck. She does a little of everything. Anyway, he's a sweetheart, great food, and gosh, the amount of fries. I just wanted to try their double cheeseburger and fries, and it was like, I left that place so full, I thought, oh shoot, I don't even have to have dinner. But we appreciate Melissa and the Triple H Cafe there in Elliott. I know John Roth, he's a singing man. Every time I had ever been there in the past, he had always been there, and I heard he's one of the regulars and the farmers around that area. There's not a lot of places in Elliott to eat, so you got a captive audience. But great food, good atmosphere, and it was a delight to meet Melissa. And like I said, you can pick up our Prime Lifetimes papers there or a Tootsie Pop treat. So, yeah, it was a good week. Oh, I guess that was just yesterday. I don't know what I said. I feel like I was referring to last week, but I'm thinking as I'm projecting who we're going to have on Monday's edition of Mark and Friends and Testimony Tuesday. Things have been a bit of a blur, but good thing that God's Word doesn't change. It's always there, available. It can be divided. And yesterday at the men's group I'm a part of, every Thursday that we meet, we were talking about, maybe you have some thoughts on this, but people were talking about, well, sin, we all deal with that, but, you know, sometimes sin, when it's recognized, like there's healthy conviction, generally will be drawn to God. I mean, healthy Holy Spirit-induced conviction, you know, you recognize you're a sinner and you seek after God because he's the one that can bring healing or hope or change. But condemnation oftentimes comes from the evil one, and usually when there's condemnation that's not of God, it'll cause you, and Satan uses this, to refrain from God, to turn away from God, to want to have nothing to do with God. And so we talked about the difference between healthy Holy Spirit induced conviction, which will draw you to God, versus condemnation, which the evil one often uses to have you run from God. Any thoughts on that? On the spur of the moment, with no show prep?
Well, that's really the difference between Romans 7 and Romans 8. In Romans 7, Paul says, you know, I can't do the things that I want to do, but I keep doing the things that I don't want to do. It's not me, but the sin that dwells inside of me. And he really builds throughout Romans 7 this head of steam as he talks about the old man inside of him, this sinful nature. And he says, what am I to do? I'm in this body of death. And then he says, thanks be to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we segue into Romans chapter 8, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so Romans 7 and Romans 8 stand in stark opposition of one another in terms of what you're talking about. You know, one kind of side of the Christian life where we're battling with the old person inside of us, the person who we used to be, with the truth of who we are now in Christ. And that's what Romans 8 is. And it reminds me of Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, it begins and it says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so this is a great passage, because what Paul's doing is he's talking about what you're talking about. He's talking about Christian living. He's talking about it as we live our lives in Christ, we need to be rooted in the truth. The foundation of what we do is the truth. I mean, the old hymn says that we're built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so that's the truth of our life. That's the truth of the life that we've been brought into through the saving work of Christ. And Paul begins in 3 by saying, if then you have been raised with Christ, which makes you have to stop and pause and say, have I? You know what I mean? Because sometimes one of the most helpful things we can do is stop and ask ourselves a question. You know, a clarifying question to say, wait a second, I need this question to remind me of the truth. You know, and sometimes one of the greatest defenses against drowning is to remember that you know how to swim. And so here Paul is saying, if then you've been raised with Christ, if you've been raised with Christ, then you live in this new reality. You don't live any longer as one who battles the flesh. Instead, you live as a new creation in Christ.
I'm just thinking, and I wrote that down, I love, and I've memorized this, it seems like in the past, but it's Romans what? There is now, therefore, no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. Is that how the verse goes?
Yep, Romans 8:1.
What a great verse for everyone I don't even know if you have to grapple with it. I mean, it's pretty self-evident, but it's like, wow. It's like what somebody would say in your church, you would say it, and they'd go, wow, God. You know, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is speaking to those of us that are follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ Jesus when we follow him, when we surrender to him, when we ask him to be our Savior, when we recognize we're sinners in need of a Savior. But I'm sure there's got to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people tuned in right now listening to our voices. And I think that truth could be a game changer for somebody that's feeling like they've sinned, which we all do. They've fallen short again, which we all do, that are feeling ashamed for whatever pattern or sinful behavior they just practiced, or a flare-up of their temper or whatever it is. But if they are in Christ Jesus and they're they're truly repented, they feel bad about their sin, it kind of implies that there is no longer condemnation. I mean, God has taken care of that.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have these books, and you would read a paragraph in the book, and then the book would say, if you think this, go to page 20. If you think this, go back to page 10. And that's really what Paul's doing in Colossians in the third chapter, because what Paul talks about here, if then you've been raised with Christ, is actually something that he introduces back in chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, when it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. And he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And then listen, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So what Paul really does is, when Paul has it in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, if then you've been raised in Christ, the listener to this text would immediately go, in Paul's day, would go, wait a second, that he just talked about that in verse 2 when he gave us the gospel. That's what I'm supposed to remember. When the enemy comes to condemn me, when the enemy comes to shame me, I'm supposed to remember that I've been raised with Christ. I'm supposed to remember that the record of the legal demands and the record of debt has been nailed to the cross, that Jesus himself disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he put them to open shame, not me, them, triumphing over them. And we need to remember that, because we need to remember we were dead in our trespasses, but God, as Ephesians 2 says, being rich in mercy and with the great love in which he loved us. And so when we say, if then you've been raised with Christ, we're asking, do you understand? Do you remember? Can you grab back a hold of the reality of the gospel that saved you? and live in that truth. See, the world and everything else, the world, the enemy, all kinds of things, wants you to live in a different kind of truth, a different kind of reality, a reality that you're never going to be good enough, that you couldn't possibly have been saved, that how could you measure up? And the Bible says, you're right. They're right. You couldn't measure up. You were dead in your trespasses, but that doesn't matter. The foundation of what you stand on is the reality that he canceled the record of debt and that he set it aside and nailed it to the cross, that he triumphed over all that was trying to triumph over us. And so that's why I love how Paul does that, is that when you read that in the line in 3, it's almost like a question that leads you back to what he's just talked about. So it's like just constantly, okay, keep going back until you can get this, until you understand, until you're willing to understand and to live in that. And I love that because he says, if then you've been raised with Christ. So he's asking us to grab a hold of that. And then he's asking us to live out of that, live out of the power of the resurrection. Listen, after the resurrection, what did Jesus do? He left the tomb. And so we need to leave the tomb also because we don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
Somebody listening to this right now needs to realize that Jesus left the tomb so you don't have to live there anymore either.
Yeah.
And after Jesus' resurrection, this resurrection that we live out of, Jesus spent his remaining time being with and ministering to his disciples. And so should we. We should live our lives with others, serving one another, loving one another, just as Jesus did. And out of this resurrection life, Jesus lived in the supernatural power of the Spirit. And we need to do that too. We need to know that we have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Bible says after he was tempted in the desert, that Jesus went into the Galilee in the power of the Spirit, that when we go into the grocery store and we go into the wherever it is we're going, we go into the mall or we go into the wherever, we go in that power of that same Spirit. And out of that resurrection life, Jesus looked forward to heaven, knowing that he would soon ascend there. And we need to know that too, that in Romans 8, when it says that those that he foreknew, he predestined, he predetermined, and that he will glorify them, that our future is a settled matter in the mind of God, that there is nothing, Romans 8 says, height, width, depth, angels, demons, anything in all of creation that can separate you from the love of God. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Because your eternity is a settled matter in the mind of your Creator. And we need to live out of that life. We need to exit the tomb triumphantly like Jesus did and say, listen, I know you want to make me feel a little dead right now, but I don't live there anymore. And not only that, but I've been called to love others because that's what Jesus did. And in the places where I'm not sure how to do that, in the places where I'm not sure exactly what, I have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what it would look like if, as Christians, before we went somewhere, we said, I'm going to go in here in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus went into the Galilee.
Yeah.
I think we might make a difference. And then, always understanding and always knowing that our greatest hope is secured, that our eternal destiny is already a settled matter, that God knows that, that he's secured that, that nothing can take it away from him. See, what I love about Romans 8 is that people will read the beginning of Romans 8:1, and they'll say, therefore, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And then they'll say, yeah, I get that, but you know what? It seems like the world's kind of a condemning place.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like there's a lot of negativity, a lot to shame me. There's a lot to make me feel like I'm not good enough. And Romans 8 ends with the antidote to what Romans 8 begins with, that nothing in all of creation, height, width, depth, angels, and demons, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. No condemning word can separate you from the love of Christ. No shameful words can separate you from what God has bought and purchased in Christ for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we live out of that. We live out of that because the world and all of its opinions, even some good founded theological interpretations, which is just another word for some good theological opinions. Some of those things can be quite condemning and not have the grace that God offers.
Yeah.
And so we just need to be very careful. We need to live out of the truth that God offers in this word. And this is what I love. I'll read the rest of this passage. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. So listen, we continually seek the things above. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What I love about it says, where Christ is seated Hebrews says that when Jesus finished his work, so sure was he of it that he sat down. That's why he's seated in Colossians 3. And then it says this, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll appear with him in glory. I love how it says that we're hidden in Christ, because if we go back to Matthew chapter 3 and the baptism of Jesus, what does God say when he sees Jesus come up out of the water? He says, my son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. And when we are clothed and robed, hidden in Christ, when God looks upon our sinfulness, what does he see? He sees Christ who paid the penalty for that sinfulness. Yeah. So that's the life we need to live out of. That's the life that we need to pursue. Because every other life, I don't know, Mark, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, and I like that picture because in reality, and I don't know how it all works, but when God looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus on our behalf, he sees us as perfect, as complete, as wonderful. I mean, it's the only reason he can commune with us, because he's holy and he has to deal with sin. But because of what Christ did on our behalf, it's not by our works, nothing that we could do or have earned it, but because of all that Jesus did on our behalf, we are, if you will, sinless before the Father, which is just incredible, unfathomable.
It really is. There's that hymn, How Deep the Father's Love, and it says how deep the Father's love for us, something, something without measure, that he would something, something, something to make it a wretch his treasure.
Wow.
And whenever I hear that line, to make a wretch his treasure, I always pause and just think, how is that even possible?
Right.
And I don't need to understand how it's possible. I just need to live in the reality of the fact that it happened.
Amen and amen. Well, the weekend's upon us. Get in a good Bible-believing church. I could certainly recommend the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad. Are you going to be preaching, or are you not back into the pulpit yet?
I am another couple weeks. I've been put on
medical
rest.
Leave. Yeah, medical rest. Yeah, you need it. Well, we'll continue to pray you up and continue to broadcast God-honoring program. Hopefully, as you tune in, looking for Precept Ministry this Monday at 6:30 on WGNJ or 11 a.m. on WGNN. We'll be launching into J. Vernon McGee's Through the Bible, and a good Bible teaching program that I think we'll all be blessed and benefit through. So. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.